And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. Today's show is very important because we are talking about the balancing act. What is the balancing act? Well, I have Mackenzie Boas here to tell you. Mackenzie, what is it?
So the balancing act is basically methods of how to balance schedules and rigorous activities. And I have a guest today, Mr. Muhammad Daji, who excels in balancing his high school schedule. Muhammad, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So I hear you take a lot of AP classes, you're involved in sports, and you are in club activities. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
What AP classes do you take?
Currently, I'm taking 4 AP classes. I'm taking AP Environmental Science, AP Calculus BC, AP Government and Politics, and AP Statistics.
AP Statistics. Wow. That's a lot. So you're taking 2 math APs. Wow. How do you maintain great grades in those classes?
It's really just about focusing on them and not prioritizing one over the other, because that's really the one thing that I think messes up high school students is they spend too much time on one and they end up slacking in their other classes.
Okay. And then you have your sports. You do sports, right?
Yes, that's right.
What do you do?
I'm a wrestler.
Okay. And your clubs are?
I'm in NASFAME, National Honor Society, and the Muslim Student Association.
What is NASFAME?
NASFAME is a minority club that just gets the word out about minorities and their history in this nation.
So within a whole course of a day, you probably tend to all of these, right?
Yes.
When you study, I know because when I study, my mind is everywhere. I'm like on Facebook, and then I'm trying to study for my Spanish test, and then I'm trying to talk to somebody. What is your method of studying that keeps you focused on them?
My method is really to just take it one class at a time, so I'm not thinking about my math project that's due tomorrow if I have to study for a test tomorrow as well. So I'm just focusing on one topic, and then after I'm done with that class, I can move on and worry about another class.
Okay, so as far as planning, do you have a schedule that you lay out, or you just kind of go with the flow of the day?
Yeah, so my agenda is really important because if I forget anything, it's a pretty
totally
big deal.
Does.
Yeah.
So I have to keep really good records, and it's helped so far. So.
Okay, and with the clubs now, are you just members, or do you, in some of them, do you hold a higher position?
In NASFAME and in the Muslim Student Association, I'm vice president. But in National Honor Society, there's 150 people in that club, so I'm not an officer in that club.
Okay, but so you control the events they kind of do sometimes?
Yeah, we all work together. There's about 8 officers, but yeah, we control the events and how we plan them and everything like that.
Okay, I know that's hard for me. I have my own Psy club, and it's stressful to balance all of that. If you were to give someone advice on basically just making a schedule and balancing everything, what would you tell them?
Well, the first thing is that you don't want to do it all at once, because that's the easiest way to forget things. So I do them right after I figure out what my homework is. For one class, I'll write it in my agenda, and that way I won't forget anything, instead of waiting till I get home and then writing everything all at once.
Great advice.
That's really great.
All right, so I have questions for 2 of you. First of all, what grades are you all in?
I'm a junior.
I'm also a junior.
Okay, so, and then Mackenzie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your schedule?
Okay, so I don't take a lot of AP classes. I really don't take any. I have Honors English, Pre-Calculus, and Honors U.S. History. And then I have an academic internship with Ms. Heemstra, and I just take Earth Science. But I do have a lot of clubs. I'm in a lot of clubs.
I know. Why don't you tell us about them?
I'm in NASFAME.
Miss Chapel Hill.
I'm in NASFAME with Muhammad. I have my own singing group, Psy, Singers in Harmony. I'm in the National Technical Honor Society Club. And I am a flag girl, which is, it's not a sport, it's a club organization. And I'm the captain of that team. And then on top of that, I throw discus and shot put for the track and field team at East. And I'm basketball manager during basketball season for men's varsity. So my day involves, I see a lot of people all day and I have to balance all of that. And I think I'm pretty good at it.
So, both of you, how many hours are you spending every day at the high school?
10 hours
is your day.
Yeah, so I live a little bit far away, so I have to get to school a little bit early. So I'm here at like 7, and I usually leave right about 7 because that's when wrestling practice is over. So, yeah, it's almost 12 hours every day.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so here's a question for you, Muhammad. If you're spending 12 hours a day, are you studying during the day when you can? Because, or do you go home at 7 and then try to pick up books, or are you too tired?
I mean, sometimes when I get home, I'm really just too tired to do stuff, so I do have to leave it to, like, school. But most of the time, I try to just do all my work at home because I've, like, established a studying area in my house that I can do all my work and stay focused. So it helps. It's also a little bit harder at school when people are talking around you to study for me. So it's, for me, it's a lot more about, like, a quiet learning space.
So do you like absolute silence? Do you have your radio on?
If my parents are, like, talking in the other room, I can't do my homework. It's...
Okay, so do you make the whole house be silent while you try to study?
My parents have kind of learned over these 3 years of high school to, like, go to the other side of the house and talk.
Okay, so you have a whole system worked out.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to bring you back to the question about Facebook, because to Mackenzie's point, a lot of us, when we're trying to get stuff done, have interrupters in our schedule. Facebook, video games, text messages... What am I missing? Snacks.
Just guests coming over, because I have a lot of people that come over my house.
Visitors. How do you all, what are your interrupters that you have, and how do you handle them?
My interrupter, my biggest interrupter is Facebook, because a lot of my classwork assignments are on the internet, and I have a tab for Facebook. It's my homepage, and I can't help but going to Facebook before I do any assignment, in the middle of assignment. That is my biggest interrupter.
Yeah, for me, I think texting is probably my biggest problem, because texting, it's like your phone buzzes and you can't help but, like, go to your phone and see who texted you or what.
It's like a magnetic pull. You're like, I can't help it.
So, yeah, for me, I try to stay away from my phone when I'm doing my homework.
I wondered about that. Do you leave the phone in the other room?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's, like, incredible personal management. So there's some level of denial going on there. Like, you're denying yourself texts. You're denying yourself conversations, all that kind of stuff. And, Mackenzie, I think you and maybe I share the same thing, where it's like, oh, we'll keep it in here. And then, you know, every few minutes you just need to check it.
And make sure, yeah.
But you're like Mr. Focus Guy. So you're managing 4 APs and your sports, and then it's almost like you've got tunnel vision. Would you say that?
Yeah, it's like my parents, like, pester me about not having my phone, not opening Facebook, and then, like, one time I might listen to them, and then I'll figure out that it works.
Okay.
And from then on, I just kind of used it, because if I didn't, and if I was, like, sidetracked, I probably wouldn't get any sleep, and that wouldn't be good.
No, I can see that, because with your schedule, it's a pretty intensive studying thing. What about you, Mackenzie?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to... I really lack the determination and, like, the drive to not touch something and not go on this site. But, my parents pestered me a lot about just, like, putting something down and leaving it alone. I'm still in my stage of trying to understand what they're saying of that, but
trying to find the wisdom in your parents' words.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting there, but as of now, I'm still trying to find it.
No, I understand that, and I do think it's a challenge, particularly for your generation, more so than it was for mine. When I was growing up, we had phones, so it wasn't that long ago, but the phones were attached to the wall. So, first of all, if you wanted to talk to someone, you were out there with all your business. So, there was no privacy. And your mom would come yell at you, hey, so-and-so called. You know, and then you go sit there in the middle of the kitchen and talk to them. And so everyone knew what everyone was doing. But I think with you all, you can also have sidebar conversations that are much more interesting than those we could have had in our homes during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is advice for other students. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. But then when we come back, I want to hear observations you've had about some of your classmates, what's worked for them and what hasn't, and what advice you have for others. So you are listening to Kristen Heemstra on the Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. I'm talking with Mackenzie Boas and Mohammed Hadaji about how to balance the life you have at school and your extracurricular activities. So, Mohammed, I'm going to lead you with off to you with this one. You are looking, I'm assuming you're taking these AP classes first and foremost for the joy of learning, but also my guess is you have some designs on college. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I find some interest in some of the classes I'm taking, but some of them are just the next step in, like, the course I'm taking. For example, math. Math, I just found myself ahead, and I didn't really have any other class to take. And my parents' input was a little bit of a factor, too. And, yeah, really, when I think about it, the colleges that I'm aspiring to go to are a little bit hard to get into, and I know that I have to take rigorous courses to give myself a good fighting chance for those colleges, and that's really part of the reason that I take those classes.
That makes sense. So let me ask you this. Are you trying, or are you thinking of also using your wrestling and your extracurriculars to approach those schools, or are you just going to approach them on your straight academic capacities?
I mean, the wrestling and the clubs help, but really wrestling, I did it because I love the sport, and mm-hmm. the clubs, I mean, it took a long time to get to, like, my position in the club, and I really have, like, grown passionate for all the things that I do, so it's really more about that than the colleges for those two things.
That's great. What about you, Miss Mackenzie?
My schedule now is I'm aiming towards going to college and using not just my academic, but I want to use all my extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
Just because I know colleges, when they look at students, they don't just want that, you know, the brainy student. They want somebody who's been involved in the community, involved in their school, and have experience, you know, communicating with people outside of their circle, just, you know, being a people person. So I try to build my schedule up to something that I can use universally and career-wise and social-wise.
I would agree with that, just knowing you and working with you over time. How do you all handle getting tired? I would think that there would be some points at which you're just exhausted and you have to keep going. So, Mackenzie, let's start with you. When you get really tired, how do you handle that?
I just tell myself I can't sleep until it's done. I don't like to be called a quitter or somebody just that stops something or that doesn't complete anything. So I usually just, like, tell myself when I get tired, you can't stop, because then they're going to tell you you're not good at it, or you're not a follow-through person. So it's just focus on what's ahead, and yeah.
What time do you typically go to bed every night?
2:30, 3 o'clock.
And what time do you get up in the morning?
6 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, lots of sleep happening there.
Yeah.
All right, what about you, Mom?
Yeah, for me, before I wasn't like a sleep when it's done kind of person. I used to, like, worry about stressing myself out if I didn't go to sleep, and I wouldn't learn anything anyways. And I used to make excuses like, oh, if I go to sleep now, I can wake up early in the morning, but I knew I wouldn't. So, I mean, and now I've kind of realized that, like, if I finish it and I don't stress over it and I don't, like, go to sleep just because I'm really, really tired or something, then the next morning or the next day I won't have such a stressful day, and I won't have any more makeup work to do, which helps because the makeup work can pile up really fast.
Mm-hmm. And what time do you go to bed?
I try to get to bed before 2, but sometimes I pass that limit.
Okay, and what time do you get up if you're at school at 7?
Like 6.
Okay, so sounds like you all are getting between 3 and 4 hours of sleep at night.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's my challenge, because we're calling this show The Balancing Act. And I'm thinking that it's just horribly misnamed, because as a person who needs more than 3.5 to 4 hours of sleep at night to have anything function at all during the day, I'm not feeling you all are very balanced. I'll just be honest.
Well, what I tend to do when I think of going, like, sleep and sleep-wise, I know that if I finish it today, tomorrow I won't have as much work to do. So whereas the night before I may have got 2-3 hours of sleep, there is going to be a day in the week where I'll get that 8 hours of sleep because I work so hard during the week. Kind of like you kind of use my weekend as a make the sleep thing balance out with my day. So like last week I had tests and I had a play that I was in and club meetings and practice, and I knew that Monday through Friday I wasn't getting sleep. By like this Saturday and Sunday and Sunday night I got my, you know, 12 hours sleep. It was a day of sleep, but I eventually got it to the point where I wasn't exhausted by today. So yeah.
Well, congratulations.
So sad.
So you got, yeah, no, it really is.
So sad.
There's just a sadness about that. What about you, Mohammed?
I mean, for me, I agree with Mackenzie. It does fluctuate. I'm not going to be up till 2, like, every single night. But, I mean, there's just some nights where you have a lot of work and some nights where the teachers decide not to give you anything. And, I mean, I do use my weekends as a catch-up day, but also I use it to, like, revive my social life because it's kind of hard to when you have nothing but school for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And you're spending 12 hours a day at school.
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay. So, we've established that there's really not a lot of sleep happening. And it sounds like, I know Mackenzie's extracurriculars tend to put her in a lot of social situations. And you feel like you need your weekends to do some of that socializing that's not done at school?
I mean, it happens at school, but sometimes you just can't. Like, sometimes you want to go with your friends during lunch, but you just have to go to the library and do something. And, I mean, before I used to worry about it a lot, but I realized that the weekends, that's plenty of time. I mean, I can get my sleep, do my homework, and I'll still have time to hang out with my friends. So that, I mean, the weekend really helps.
Okay. So here's my question to you, and Mohammed, I'm going to ask you this. You are doing a lot of behavior modification. You are going to the lunch during library. You're staying up late. You are not texting or Facebooking during the time you're doing homework. There's something greater pulling you then to make you say no to these other behaviors to then move forward toward that, correct? And I'd like, you mentioned you want to go to some competitive colleges. What is pulling you, what makes those schools more desirable than, say, another school where you could have more social life and activities if you went to them?
I mean, it's just, like, I've known a couple of people that have been to the schools that I aspire to go to, and they told me that they worked really hard in high school, and then once you get to college, especially going to East, it's a lot easier on your time schedule, and you don't end up going to sleep every day at 2 in the morning, and, like, they've all told me that the work is worth it. And so that's kind of the thing that made me, like, want to do that.
It's almost like a survivor's tale.
Yeah.
I survived, and it was totally worth it, and now I love where I go to school. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
Okay. And Mackenzie, what about you? My idea is there are some things that are greater. It's actually a concept that I've seen now for many years exemplified by high school students and adults as well. But we have this dream in us sometimes that's big enough to pull us over unbelievable hurdles. And while you all are having a casual conversation about staying up till 2:30 in the morning to, you know, do your work and stuff, that's actually quite an amazing feat you're doing. So there's some drive within you that's pulling you towards this goal where you're willing to make the sacrifices to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned going to college. What is that picture in your mind that's pulling you over all these obstacles? It's, you know, it's 1 o'clock, but I'm not going to stop because I've got more work to do.
Well, first, when my career goal is to be a sports marketer, and I always, that's like the one thing I'm always Googling, like, what do they do? How long do they do it? How long does it take to do it? That picture in my mind is just me finally being able to not have to do work. My goal is to be, like, I guess, just somebody who doesn't have to go to work from a 9-to-5 job and, you know, be stressed out with stuff. And I know that to get up to that level, you have to do some of those, you know, exhausting tasks, and you have to do hard things, and you might lose sleep, but I just, in my mind, I picture myself years from now, but being, you know, stress-free and not having to do a lot of work.
And you see yourself doing what you love.
Yeah.
Like, there's a piece there with, like, for you, it's almost like a career goal. Muhammad, what I heard you saying, it was almost like a college goal. And so you both have goals that are out there that are pulling you to move towards and make these sacrifices now. All right. Well, what we're going to do is take another break. And I want to hear, too, from some of your friends about what's going on in their world. We will be right back. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra on the Art of Potential Show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. This show is horribly misnamed. It's called The Balancing Act, and we were talking about balancing academics and extracurriculars. And what I've learned is that we are not balanced at all. We have two young people here who are giving between them about 4 hours of sleep at night on a good night. Muhammad, let's start with you. What are some of the things you do when you do find yourself with any downtime or free time?
For me, the big thing is football. Football is my favorite sport by far, and even when it's like off season for football, I still pay attention. Like last week, Tony Romo had a golf tournament, him and Tiger Woods, and I watched it just because it was Tony Romo. I'm not really a golf fan at all, so that's kind of the thing I do when I have free time. It's just like if I can read up on football or learn something new, it's something helpful for me, and it's also a, like stress reliever for me too.
It gives your mind a different place or something else to focus on besides just school. All right. And what about you, Mackenzie?
I do a lot of stuff in my downtime. My family travels a lot. We like to go out of town a lot. So we'll probably go out of town on the weekend. Or I'm big on, like, lunches with my friends, getting my nails done, hair done, all that. Like, my downtime is basically a tend to me time.
Self-care.
Yeah. Just basically, like, doing what I couldn't do during the week with myself. But yeah, so I do have a lot of times where I like hang out with my friend, or I may even like sit on the couch with my brother all weekend and watch a basketball game. But during my downtime, it's just a calm, relaxing, remember this is Earth and people make mistakes type of time.
Well, one of the things that concerns me in listening to you all is I don't think you're alone in what you all are doing. And just from my experience at East, but also working in Fairfax County, which was a very competitive school district, we are seeing young people, you know, with these unbelievably difficult schedules and rigor attached to them. And Mackenzie, I'll let you lead with this. Do you think you're a better person in terms of how you know yourself and the contribution you're going to be making to society because you have all these rigorous classes and activities? How do you see this experience shaping you and your friends?
As far as shaping me, I think it makes me into a well-rounded person, a person that's, you know, capable of accomplishing any task that comes towards them. To me, I feel like it makes me a people person because I do have, I'm very nervous and shy at times, but I feel like by me being in clubs and different activities, I get to talk to people more and I open up and I develop a friend base that's, you know, pretty big. As far as friends, I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends that are very supportive of what I do, and a lot of them look up to me like, I don't see how you do it, but you do it. And I like helping people, you know, accomplish things as well. So I'm very motivating to all of my friends. If they're like, I don't think I could do it, I'm like, well, let's sit down, let's do it together. That type of person. Yeah.
What about you, Muhammad?
For me, like shaping myself, I have to remind myself sometimes that it's not all about school. And that's one of the things that also like helps me do well in school and balance it is my extracurriculars. Like, at least I get to go and for 2 hours a day, like, have fun wrestling because that is something I like. So shaping myself, I mean, it really helps. And also, like Mackenzie said, doing all those things forces you to be like a social person. You can't be in like three clubs without talking to anyone. It's a little hard. And so, yeah, it helps. And For my friends, I mean, school has even been a way, like, to help me meet more people. I mean, if there wasn't school, I probably wouldn't know as many people, because there's 1,600 people at East that I can make friends with. And friends, most of my friends are supportive. And being at East, most people do take school seriously. I mean, that's one of the good things about East, is it's kind of the same for a lot of people. And it helps you to know that you're not the only one that's staying up at night. So that's also a good thing.
So how many people are texting back and forth to in the morning, A, B, B, C, calculus, your questions?
I mean, if I really have a question, there's probably somebody else up that late, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, sometimes it just has to happen. Sometimes, I mean, everyone in that whole class was probably up till 3 in the morning studying for the test or something like that.
Wow. I know, like, when I get on Skype sometimes, one of my best friends is up there, and he's like, did you figure out that equation? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And we spend probably a whole hour trying to solve a pre-calc question just on Skype. So,
well, that's a great way to learn things. All right, so one of the things we do know from research is that peer-to-peer learning is a great way to go. We know that study groups where people study, I do need to preface that, where there is actual studying occurring, tend to be a real good way for students to learn material. And I think that's in part because to learn it from your classmate, they have the same language you do, they have the same approach, and they may know something different than you. Do you use Skype, Mohammed, when you do stuff, or not so much?
I mean, not so much, but I do study a lot with my friends, like, because if I don't understand something, they might understand it, and if they don't understand something, then I might understand it, and if neither of us get it, two brains is better than one, so we can work on stuff together, and it's really helpful.
All right, so what advice do you have for kids who are trying to manage all of the extracurriculars and academics? What advice do you have for your friends? Or, more importantly, and this is a question from my perspective, I work at East as a school counselor. What advice do people new to the district need to get so that they aren't completely overwhelmed when they walk in?
I know what I have to tell myself a lot is that as long as you act on it, it'll get done. Like, anybody can sit down and say, I have 1,000 things to do, and remind themselves they have 1,000 things to do. But as long as you, you know, do something that's, you know, working towards limiting that number of tasks you have to do in that day, it'll get done. Yeah.
I mean, for me, if someone was coming into, like, the Chapel Hill Carborough School District, I would just tell them to be, like, mentally prepared, because it's not going to be easy. I mean, even if you're not taking 4 APs, it's still not going to be easy at all. And, I mean, just being, like, knowing that you're going to have to work, and knowing that you're going to have to stay up sometimes, and knowing that you're going to have to act on it, like Mackenzie said, is something that probably helps a lot of students.
Yeah. So you're both setting expectations for incoming people, and you're both saying the expectation is that you will be staying up late, you are expected to take a rigorous class, you are expected to be involved in extracurriculars, and, you know, if you survive, there's a really nice rainbow on the other
side.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me anyway. Okay, what about your friends that... Actually, I want to retract that question. Tell me about how your friends influence your studying, because, again, from my perspective as a school counselor, one of the first pieces of advice I give to every new student is pick your friends wisely. And I'd like for you each to comment on that.
I mean, our parents tell us when we're small, like, that you are, like, who you hang out with, and at first, when I was little, I didn't think it made a difference at all. I was like, oh, I can go and hang out with people that don't care about school and then come home and care about school. But it really is. It's a big thing, especially that the fact that if you're hanging out with them, like, in class or out of class, that especially in class, they're not going to be paying attention. They might be, like, making you not pay attention, and that makes the whole process harder at home. So, I mean, surrounding myself with people that care about school and people that care as much as I do is definitely a helpful thing for me.
Yeah, your friends can be, like, the biggest distraction. They can, depending on how your friend is, they can either motivate you to do things, or they can distract you from getting what needs to be done. So, yeah, I mean, I like picking people who just compliment me. They don't even have to be like me. Just compliment my worth ethic, and yeah.
No, I think that's a very important point, because I do think what I see is you might have a student come in who – at the beginning is very motivated, but then they align themselves with groups of peers that are not motivated, and in a sense, you've lost them.
Yeah.
And so how do you all handle dealing with people who try to get you off track? What are some strategies? I mean, that's a legitimate question. What are some strategies for handling people who don't have the same sets of goals that you do?
I'm very sassy, so I'll just tell you, like, get away from me. I have something to do. I know now since I've transitioned from a freshman to a junior, I've been labeled as lame because I'm always in a classroom. I'm always in a conference room. I'm doing something. But it just doesn't faze me. I've learned to not let what people think of me faze me sometimes just because, you know, I may be a so-called nerd because I work on stuff, but to me, it's like, just go away if you don't have anything nice to say.
For me, it was like coming into high school as a freshman, there were people that, like, just didn't care about school. They were like, oh, high school is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. And, I mean, I agree. It's fun. High school is definitely fun.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to learn, like, things about your life. I mean, as a middle schooler, I would have never imagined I would have taken so much from high school. But as a freshman, I tried. Like, I cared about school, and I tried to make my friends from middle school, which was the only people I knew, which was about, like, 100 people from, like, 8th grade, like, to all want to care about school, too. And I've learned growing up as a junior, that you can't change everyone's perspective about school, and sometimes you just have to, like, disassociate yourself with people if they're really harming your academics or your extracurriculars, then, I mean, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, good point. All right, this is the Art of Potential show, and you are listening to Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. And I am talking with Mohammed Haddaji and Mackenzie Boaz, and we're talking about how to balance between high school, just basically high school life. And if you've heard any of the show, you realize that none of this is balanced at all. Question for you both. How about your families? How have they impacted this situation? What has been good and what hasn't been good?
What's been good is my family has become very supportive of me. Before I moved to Chapel Hill, I wasn't active in school, even though I was in middle school. Like, I wasn't in any sports. I didn't know about sports. And they come to all the events I take part of, like the Black History program. They came to every single show, which I was very thankful.
They're very busy parents, I can assure you. Mackenzie's involved in everything.
But the thing that's, I think, bad about the situation is, I don't know, we have less time to be together. I know we still try to have, like, you know, everybody sit at the table. But with me being at practice, they eat before I eat sometimes when I come home. You know, my food's in the microwave because I've been somewhere all day, but that's been, like, the downfall of it. My parents, you know, they have to, my brother and my mother go somewhere, and me and my father go somewhere. It's like a split of direction sometimes.
For me, the positive is that my parents have always been, like, the parents that say, if you're going to do it right and do it well. So, I mean, that's helped a lot. And my sister is a year older than me. She's a senior, and she can tell me, like, all the mistakes she's made, and she's done a lot of the same programs that I've done. Like, she was in National Honor Society. She's the president of NASFAME, and she's the president of Muslim Student Association. So she knows how high school works, and she helps me a lot. And, I mean, it's been really helpful. Without her, I probably would not be as connected to the school, and I definitely wouldn't do as much extracurriculars.
What kind of advice is she giving you?
I mean, my sister, she always says it like, she's my, like, mistake guide. Like, don't do this because I did this wrong. And, I mean, it's a little bit true, but, I mean, she's been really helpful. It's all positive from her. She's not like, oh, you can't do this, it's too hard. She's like, oh, it was really hard for me, but I know you can get through it, especially with my help and stuff like that. And she's taken a lot of the same classes that I've taken. Like, this year she helps me with math. She helps me with a lot of subjects that she took last year. So, I mean, it's really helpful to have, like, a figure older than me that I can learn from get help from.
It sounds to me like what you're both saying is that your whole family unit is on the same page with your education. So the expectations that are communicated in your respective homes is you are going to school, we do have high expectations for you academically, and we will support you in the process. You're coming home to, I'm talking to Mackenzie right now, you're coming home to food in the microwave. Even if you have had a busy day, you know you're coming home to someone who's thought about you, who's made you a meal, who's working towards helping you move forward in your goals. Would you say that's true for you?
Yeah, it's the same. My mom's a little bit weird. She used to, especially when I was in middle school, like, she wouldn't even know what classes I'm taking. Like, she wasn't as connected with my schooling. And then she kind of realized that it was a big deal. And, I mean, for her, high school came easy. She said a long time ago it was a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And so, but now she pays a lot of attention. Like, it's kind of funny. She'll, like, make foods that she think will make me smarter and stuff. Oh. And then she'll be like, I made this for you. And it won't be as good as what she made for us in the family. But, I mean, it's good to know she's, like, thinking about me. And it's helpful.
The intention behind it is very true and honest. It's like, if I make you all blueberry and salmon.
And one thing I've noticed is my parents, they're very supportive. If I don't want to do it, they'll still support me. And if I do do it, they'll support me regardless. They won't ever push me to do something I won't do. Like, if I decided I quit track, they'd be sad that I did. But they'd be like, well, if you can't handle that, I understand completely. Yeah.
And I will say that I've seen that happen in some other students who, like you all, would be considered high flyers, where you see them start their freshman year with all kinds of extracurricular activities. They do tennis, they do swimming, they do band, they do all this. And then by the end of the senior year, and particularly where you all are in the junior year, it's like all those activities, one gets dropped per year until they're just like these functioning brains of trying to absorb as many AP classes as they can to move on to the most competitive universities. It's like a, you know, well, I can't do track because it takes too much time, or I can't do that. So, and that's a disappointment because I do think that offers a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. Any advice you all have?
I mean, for other students, especially in this district, I mean, my biggest piece of advice is just to think about the future, because, like, that site and knowing that, like, the work will pay off is really, like, the one thing that pushes me. Other than that, I mean, there are other factors, but, I mean, other than that, I wouldn't be as hardworking as I am today.
My advice would be you can do it, and you can still, you know, take care of yourself without, you know, looking like a zombie all week. It is possible to have a lot of work to do and still be this pleasant, peaceful person.
I would agree with that. I'm kind of surprised, and this is a weird question, I know, but how do you all stay awake during class? Do you ever get tired? And what do you do to keep yourself awake? Because the human body actually is meant to have a little more sleep than either of you are getting.
That is true.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, it's like I'll get tired during class, but, I mean, I'm lucky I have a lot of lively teachers. Like, I won't say any names, but a lot of my AP teachers are some of the best teachers I've ever had, and they'll keep you awake. Like, they'll yell, like, and they'll make sure you're still awake, because you do need to learn, like, everything they're saying. Yeah. There's nothing that you can just, like, fall asleep and then wake up and you won't ever need it for the test or anything like that.
Yeah. That's a good point. I don't fall asleep a lot in class, or I don't get tired a lot in class. But when I do, I just, I don't know, my teachers won't let me fall asleep in class. They'll, like,
no,
hit my foot.
No, that's good. And I think also sometimes if you need to stand up, you know, if you have an arrangement with the teacher, let them know, whoa, I'm tired, I need to stand up for a minute, and just, you know, shake it off or go get a drink of water. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that can help too. Now let's hear from some other students.
This is Mackenzie Boas with the Art of Potential Show, and today I am joined with April Edwards. And April Edwards is a excelling high school student. Ava, what AP courses do you take?
Right now I'm taking Calc BC, Environmental Science, Spanish Language, and U.S. History.
And what clubs are you involved in?
I'm in the Queer Straight Alliance, or QSA, Spanish Honor Society, and National Honor Society.
So if I'm guessing right, you excel in everything you do, basically. Or you're just really outstanding as far as grades and community service, am I right?
Well, sort of. I mean, I like to do a lot of things, so.
It's okay to be cocky right now. So if you could give advice to a friend on balancing their high school schedule, what would you tell them?
Do stuff that you enjoy, because it's, like, no fun to do a lot of something that you hate.
today I am joined with
Jacob Reed.
And Jacob excels at balancing his high school schedule. Jacob, what AP courses do you take?
AP European History, AP French, Language and Culture, and AP Physics C.
Okay, and what extracurricular activities are you involved in?
A lot of musical activities, as well as some academic trivia competitions and the like.
Okay, so if you were to give advice to your friends on how to balance your high school schedule, what would you tell them?
I would tell them not to take too many courses that they're really not interested in, to really only take things they love, and not to take too many courses that they think are going to be too difficult for them.
And just out of curiosity, how many hours of sleep do you get in a day?
Six.
But that's pretty good. Well, thank you so much, Jacob, for coming.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks.
Today I am joined with
Ava Adams.
And Ava excels at balancing her high school career. So, Ava, what AP classes do you take?
AP Psychology, AP US History, and AP Government.
And what clubs are you in?
I'm in Junior Class Council and Student Government.
So, I take it you excel at all of this, right?
Generally.
Yeah. So if you were to give a friend advice on how to balance their high school schedule, what would you tell them?
I would tell them not to overload themselves and to just organize.
And out of curiosity, how many hours of sleep do you get a night?
Probably about six.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You have just listened to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra.